All right, so we are online with Mr. Vadi Bakhem. I thought that this man was had been stolen. Well, his name had been stolen by the English people, that we should call him Vadi Beauchamp. But he told me that was not the case. Hi, Mr. Bakhem.
Hi, how are you?
Very good. So you're not Mr. Beauchamp?
No, not quite.
Well, I was sure that this was a French name that was kind of a vestige from the past left in the south of the United States, but that's not the case. All right.
It's German.
German, okay. I didn't know, so.
Nice, wholesome German name.
All right, so can you just introduce yourself to our listeners? Some of them never heard about you. You have a fan club here, but since we have a very a small percentage of evangelical Christians, it's a very small fan club. I'm sorry to tell you that. So for the rest who doesn't know you, maybe you can just introduce yourself, tell us where you're from, just a few words about your family and your ministry.
Yeah, I currently live in Houston, Texas, and I serve as the pastor of preaching at Grace Family Baptist Church here in Houston. I grew up in Los Angeles, California. And came here to Texas to go to college. I'm married to my wife, Bridget, 25 years. We have 9 children, ranging from 24 down to 1. Our oldest was just married this past weekend. So I write and I teach and occasionally have opportunities to go to places like Quebec and do conferences like this one, which I'm very excited and privileged to do.
Well, that's great. We're very excited to have you. Is it your first time in La Belle Province? La Belle Province is Quebec.
Yes, yeah, it is. It is. This will be my first time. So now I can really say I've been to Canada.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's really two countries in one geographical arrangement.
So I hear.
Great. So what will you be talking about in this conference coming in October?
Well, we'll have one session where we'll deal with the issue of worldview and the predominant worldview of our day, dealing with secular humanism and postmodernism, how that affects the way we think. And then we'll apply that in a general way in the second session to decisions that we make, the way we live our lives, and impact of that worldview on us. And then in a third session, we'll apply it more specifically in the area of marriage and family.
Would you say that most of your field of interest is around the family, and you try to many of the books you wrote were on that subject?
Really, my main field of interest is cultural apologetics. I had a trilogy of books on family, but mainly because of my interest in cultural apologetics. The family is the number one battleground for cultural apologetics in our day, whether it's abortion, same-sex marriage, all of these issues go to the heart of the family, feminism. All of these things go to the heart of the family. And so as a cultural apologist, as an observer of culture, I wrote those books on the family really to try to add my voice to these cultural battles that are going on today.
And would you say that you are trying to speak to non-Christians, or you're bringing those issues talking more to the church?
I'm definitely talking more to the church. In my books, I try to have clear presentations and understanding of the gospel. But I'm talking primarily to the church about these issues, about the way that we think, about the way that we have been taught to think, about the way that our minds have been co-opted by the culture. And I'm really trying to call people back to Scripture and to biblical worldview.
Do you consider that, well, you just said it, that this culture, this secular culture, has an influence over the Christian, what would you say would be the main areas of concern, at least that you have, regarding the Christians and the Christian family around those issues?
A couple of things. I would say the number one would be education. From kindergarten through 12th grade, a child spends 14,000 instructional hours in school.
Mm.
And we, I don't think Christian parents realize what kind of instruction is going on. I don't think they understand what's happened over the last decade as it relates to education and as it relates to goals in education and the influence that it's having on the way young people think. So that's a concern of mine, the education of our children. With that, our lack of commitment to things like catechism and regular family worship.
Yeah.
So on the one hand, we're abdicating education, allowing someone else to do that. And on the other hand, we're abdicating catechism, family worship, and the family altar. And so we're not doing what we've been called to do in that regard. You put those two things together, and you have children who are growing up not in a vacuum, but they're growing up fully immersed in an unbiblical, anti-biblical worldview, and we're hoping that an hour a week in church is enough to overturn that.
So you would say that the family would be a major means by which the Lord might bring a revival or a reformation of the church?
Absolutely. You know, in his book, The Reformed Pastor, Richard Baxter pleads with pastors, and he says, basically, if you want to see reformation and revival in your church, do all you can to promote family religion. You know, it's been understood throughout the centuries that the main influence in the lives of the children and young people is their parents and their home. And this is why there was always an emphasis on family worship. You know, as a Reformed Baptist, holding to the Second London Baptist Confession, there is in the preface a strong statement about a lack of family discipleship and family worship being one of the reasons that the writers of that confession thought it was important to do, to put a tool into the hands of families so that they could stand against the tide of what even at that time they saw as a falling away from the duty and responsibility to disciple our children in our homes. And if it was true in 1677, it's more true today.
And this might be more a theological and ecclesiological question, but how do you see the place of the family into the church regarding the covenant? You know, is our children into the covenant? How do you relate that? I know it's a very Baptist v. Presbyterian debate, but you know, and it's a hot question too regarding the family integrated church movement. But just want to have your take on that.
Yeah, let me say this: that I get that question a lot because people don't understand what we mean when we talk about family integrated churches, and they sort of assume that we have a kind of Presbyterian understanding of covenant there, and we don't. We understand that the church is made up of believers, not believers and their baptized children, and we don't baptize children. However, we do understand that as believers, if we know Christ, and if we believe the gospel the way that we see, that we say that we believe the gospel, that there is nothing more significant than we can do for or give to our children. So as such, we believe that it is incumbent upon us to raise our children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. It is incumbent upon us to teach our children God's ways and God's truth. And we know that historically, the overwhelming majority of people who have come to faith have done so because of the influence of their families. And so we don't believe that you have to see children as necessarily, you know, part of the covenant community, mm-hmm. To be very serious about the way that we raise our children. You know, God is sovereign over the ends as well as the means, and we want to employ every means that God has given to influence our children toward Christ.
Amen to that. I knew that was going to be your answer, but I just want to give you the opportunity to say it.
All right.
Well, that's great. We are very thankful to the Lord that this conference can be held on. We are thankful to you that you accepted to participate in it. We very much look forward to meet you and hear what you have to say to us. Do you think that you'll be able to say a few words in French?
Merci beaucoup.
Oh, that's good. You didn't even have an accent.
Well, I'll work on it before I get there.
That's great. All right, well, the Lord bless you much, and we look forward to hearing you.